be here. Thankful for health and strength. Just thinking the other day I've made it so far through the wild temperature swings and the other exposure without coming down with colds and flu and all of that, and I'm very grateful for that. So, I've been reading this week, or maybe, yeah, it's been this week. I'd like to turn over here to 2 Corinthians. One of the letters that's accredited to the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'd like to begin reading in the first verse. And I just want to read down to one verse, and we'll look at a phrase in it, but I just want us to kind of pay attention to the setting here. He says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness." You know, one of the things, we can come to church, we can come to work when we show up on our job, we can come to a gathering of family, of friends, and we can bring an atmosphere of heaviness, sadness to that. Maybe somebody says hello to us and we say hi. Someone tries to say something happy to us, and we just, our response just kind of pours cold water on it, so to speak. But he says, I've determined that I wouldn't do that. He says, "For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me?" So if you're, I'm going to just say it like this. If you're grumpy with the people that is around you, then the people that's around you is the ones that can help cheer you up, right? If you're grumpy with your family, can you expect them to cheer you up? They probably try a little bit initially, but if you are perpetually grumpy, you know, they're going to start being grumpy back. It's pretty hard to rise above grumpiness. If the children are grumpy, sometimes the parents do things to get it out of their system, but, the parents can be grumpy, and it won't take very long, and the children will be grumpy too. So he says, "And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow with them to whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all." Now, how many of us want to go to a grumpy church? None of us do. How many of us want to go home to a grumpy house? We don't want to do that either. How many of us want to go to our workplace where everybody is grumpy? We don't want to be that either, do we? We want to go someplace where everybody is making an effort to be happy. Everybody's making an effort to, maybe we would say, have a good time, to be a blessing to one another. You know, if we will all come here or wherever we go with kind of the mentality, I want to see what I can do to help lift the spirits of those I come in contact with. You know that everything starts getting better. It's just the way it works. But if you go around dribbling cold water on everybody, you know, it's just not a good thing. So he says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." Paul was writing out a concern to the Corinthians. He was writing out of a love, And there are many things that he says in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians that's admonition. Okay? But he says, I did it out of an abundant love and compassion for you. But if any have caused grief and have not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. To this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lord, help us to know how to have an attitude of forgiveness amongst the groups that we associate with, whether it's our work, whether it's at our church, whether it's at our family gatherings or wherever it is. Lord, help us to have the attitude of forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness might be more difficult than others, but Lord, help us to have the attitude towards forgiveness. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So my message this morning is that we wouldn't be ignorant of Satan's devices. I want us to think about the devices Satan has to try to overcome us, to discourage us, to cause us to want to give up. And I hadn't really elaborated too much on the verses up above this until just now. Hadn't really just thought in depth of it. Just kind of inspiration as it came. But verse 11 is what I really want us to think about. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What is a device? What does that include? Okay, I'll read you a definition. Anita said a device is something that helps you do something. A definition I found is an invention. It's genius. It's a faculty of devising as a man of noble devices. You know, the word device is something that can be used as a pretty broad word and meaning. And it fits in most any age that we find ourselves, like in our current dispensation, and it fits in the time that the scripture was translated to English, and it fit in the time when the scripture was written. There's devices all around. And to be current with our devices today, how many of us would think that we had a house that was equipped today that didn't have a clothes washer? We'd think something was wrong, wouldn't we? How many of us would think that our house was ready to move in if there wasn't a dishwasher tucked underneath the kitchen counter? Now, we'd think something was missing, most all of us. I remember when it was a new thing and my parents bought one and it sat out in the middle of the kitchen floor and they plugged it into the faucet. I remember those kind of times. But now we think a house ought to come with one. It ought to be permanently installed. It's not something that you roll around, and it was kind of neat. You could roll it over to the table and fill it up and then roll it back over and plug it in at the sink. But I'm not talking about dishwashers this morning. But automobiles, how many of us would feel that we have a normal household if we didn't have at least one automobile? I'd think tractors. Now, I think I'd be pretty handicapped without a tractor today. But, you know, there was a time when people had cows without tractors. But today, the device of a tractor, it really saves me a lot of time. Power tools. I grew up almost without power tools. I remember the first time my dad bought what we call a skill saw, circular saw. He didn't have a lot of other tools anyway, but when he... So I've been kind of a power tool junkie. I want them. It's a device that I can just see. You know, once you start down the line of buying DeWalt or Milwaukee or some brand of tool and you have batteries for it, there's always another tool. That I seen one the other day that I want that'll fit on my Milwaukee battery. Power tools. They're devices, aren't they? Computers. How would we get along today without a laptop or a desktop or some type of computer? And cell phones, we all got them too. We send pictures to one another. I asked Rodney how much he got done on his project, and he sends me a picture back. I can see. He don't need to explain anything. He just sends me a picture. It's a device, isn't it? All these devices are used to accomplish something to go along with what Anita said earlier. You know what the devil has devices to? And he likes to try to use his devices to hinder us in our walk with the Lord. Now, there's things about my device that I'm ignorant of. And I struggle sometimes trying to... I've got an old laptop I've used for a number of years, and I had a lot of notes and documents on the old laptop, and I was trying to put it to the new laptop that my wife gave me for Christmas, and... you know, that's a struggle for me. Some of you younger people, that's not a struggle. But for me, it was. It's a major hurdle. How do I get these documents from one to the other? Y'all could have done it in minutes, and it took me probably an hour or two. But anyway, I think I've got it now. There's things I don't know how to do with my phone that some of y'all might know. And I'm just ignorant of it. It's not that I'm ignorant. It's just I'm ignorant of some things. You know, it's not because the scripture says that that we're ignorant. If you're Christians, you're ignorant. That's not what it said. It said here that he didn't want Satan to get it taken advantage of us because we were ignorant of his devices. Many years ago, I worked on a customer's car, and it had a unique way of adjusting the tilt steering wheel. You lean the tilt lever or the turn signal lever, you just pushed it forward away from the steering wheel and it released the tilt mechanism. It didn't have a separate lever. So in the process of working on the vehicle, I don't remember what I did. I tilted the steering wheel and tilted it up, maybe to get it out of my way or something. And the customer came to pick up their vehicle. And they never left the lot. They came in and accused me of breaking their car. And it says something is wrong with my steering wheel now. And I went out there. Now, it wasn't because this customer was ignorant, all right? You know what ignorant means. It means you don't have the capacity to understand something. And it wasn't that the customer was an ignorant person. It's just that they were ignorant about the fact they had a tilt steering column. And I went out there and showed them how to use the tilt steering wheel, and then they weren't ignorant anymore. So if we understand what might be potentially going to happen, then we're not ignorant anymore. But until we understand that, we can be ignorant in a certain line. I've got an old backhoe at the house, and I went to buy that. And when I got there, the fella said, this thing doesn't have a parking brake. And you always got to set the bucket down to keep it from rolling away. Well, what he didn't know and what he was ignorant about is the transmission has a park position. And all of the little decals that show you where to put the shift lever was missing. So I got on the backhoe and I realized what that he was ignorant about something. He wasn't an ignorant man. He just was ignorant about this one thing. And we can be ignorant about something that the devil is trying to use on us. And in fact, it's not that we are an ignorant person. It's just we don't understand what that the devil is behind something. And he's trying to use it to destroy us. So Paul said to the folks in Corinth, he said, unless Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He said that he personally was not ignorant of his devices. Now, there may be some devices of Satan that I'm ignorant of today, but I want to talk to you about something that I'm not ignorant of. Okay? So if you're ignorant of it, please understand the context of what I'm saying. I'm not calling anybody here ignorant today. I'm just saying that if we are ignorant about it, that we will be advised of that, and we'll be able to, well, bear with us till we get to the conclusion. We'll be able to render it ineffective. Okay? So, I've been thinking about this week, about what is it that the enemy can use that could hinder us, that's one of his devices. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that he has a lot of devices, just like we have a lot of devices. Just like we went through a list of things that we think that is normal for us to have in our homes today and in our lives. Whether you're a man that likes power tools or you're a lady that likes electronic devices or whatever it is, we have multitudes of devices in our life today to make things easier. It does stuff for us. Maybe it's a voice recording device or whatever. You can do that with your cell phone if you know how, but that's one of the areas I'm kind of ignorant of, okay? I got to thinking about the things, and one of the things I want to talk about today is fear. Did you know that fear is a device of the enemy? Fear. You know, there's 385 verses in the Bible that have the word fear in it. 385. And of those, there's about 15 that use the word fear twice in one verse. So fear is something that's talked about a lot in the scripture. And I'm not going to read all those verses to you. Y'all would not stay here that long. But I would like to go back to look at something in the very beginning. You know, in the very beginning, did the devil have much traction in this world? He didn't, did he? I want to read a scripture that I find very interesting in the second chapter of Genesis. And this second chapter, from my perspective, is a detailed account more detailed account of the creation story. And we have in verse 19, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to the every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." So I read these verses because I want you children might listen here for just a minute. Are there any animals that you're afraid of? There are creatures in this world today that immediately cause us to have some level of fear. Would you agree with me? If the door opened over here on the side and a full-grown tiger walked out of that room and come down and started down the aisle in between the benches, what would be your thoughts? Do you think y'all would just sit there like you're doing right now? I think y'all would be looking for an exit. You would be hustling out of there, because especially if the tiger opened his mouth and somehow conveyed to us that he had an appetite, we would be looking for a place to get away. But it says here that all of the animals were brought before Adam and he named them all. To me, it appears that Adam had no fear of all of the animals. In fact, in another verse, he talked about Adam having dominion over all of these creatures. And I don't believe that Adam had any fear of the creatures in this world. So I believe that fear come along because of the devil that came in. Sin entered this world and fear came along. So I'd like to go now to Genesis, the 26th chapter and the 24th verse. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. And the setting here is a setting that there was some fear involved. Isaac's servants and were being driven away from wells that they had dug, and they dug a hole and found water, and then their opposition came along and said, "That's my water," and they went and dug another well and another well. And anyway, we go down here to the 24th verse, and it says, "The Lord appeared unto him the same night," appeared to Isaac, I believe, "and he said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for thy my servant Abraham's sake. I am thy God. Fear not." For us to recognize that God is able to counteract fear is a very important component in our walk in life. Have you ever been fearful of something and actually stopped and asked God to help you overcome that fear? You know, he will and he can help us. Maybe you're fearful of having to talk to somebody. Maybe you're fearful of what some other people might do as far as retaliation, or maybe you have some other kind of fear. And you can take those things to the Lord, and the Lord can show you how to navigate that setting in your life. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, we notice here that there was something that kept the people from going forward. And they'd come up to the promised land and sent some spies in to inspect the land and come back and give a report. And they came back and they gave a report of what they found, didn't they? The Israelites had come out of Egypt and they were coming up to the Canaan land. And for those of you that would be familiar with geography, they came up and they were going to enter somewhere down there around where the Gaza Strip is now, in that area. And as they came up, they sent some spies in, and the spies came back, and maybe we'll start reading 13th chapter of Numbers, and verse 30th verse, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, did it sound like he was fearful? He wasn't. But the next verse, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" If we feel that the opposition is stronger than us, what does it bring? It brings fear. And who's the author of fear? The devil is. He says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land though through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" So they brought back this report that this land is like someplace unreal, in that there's giants over there. He says, "And we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which some of the giant come of the giants, and we are in our own sight, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So their perspective was that if we go over there, now you think of those men folks of us here today, if we were to compare our height to a grasshopper, it'd have to be a pretty big grasshopper that we couldn't just kind of slide our foot over and squish, isn't it? I mean, we wouldn't even have to hardly bend our knee to mash a grasshopper. And that's what they said. They said, "We look like a grasshopper." Do you think they were exaggerating? I think they were exaggerating. Do you know what fear causes us to do? Exaggerate our problems. If you have a little bit of fear, it's a device that the enemy tries to use to cause us to be more and more and more discouraged. And the enemy would like to use that device on us to where if we see something on the horizon, it immediately causes fear to be instigated, maybe is the right word. There's this initiation of a fearful thought, and immediately it begins to exaggerate. It's kind of like getting a drop of something. I mean, we could walk along and somebody could have a glass of ice water, and I could have a little eyedropper, you know, that could just drop one drop at a time. And if I come by and dropped a drop of battery acid, you remember me talking about that. If I dropped a drop of battery acid in your glass of ice water, how many of y'all would just go ahead and drink the ice water? I'm not going to. Ice water, for one thing, is pretty easy to come by. And besides, it was only one drop. But I'm thinking, one drop, I don't know what one drop would do to me. But it won't do me any good. And my fear of what it would do would just become exponential very quickly. So this is what happened. The fellows went over there. They saw somebody bigger than them. You ever been into, you know, work environment where somebody come to work and they were bigger than you? I have. There's been multiple times that somebody come in and they intimidated me somehow. It might have been because of the way they could talk. It might have been the way they could, how many tools they had. It might have been of their physical status. Something was intimidating about them. They may have come in and they might have, maybe you worked in sales and somebody come in that was more attractive than you, and you felt like that surely they're going to be able to sell more product than you. I don't know, but there's something, and that fear immediately begins to just spread like some kind of poison. And that's what the devil wants it to do. He wants to spread fear on so thick and so fast that it'll cause us to do something that we shouldn't have done. What was Paul's original concern? That fear, or that the devil's devices would not take advantage of us. So, what happened here? These men were fearful because they saw somebody that was, even if they was 2 foot taller than them, that'd be a giant, wouldn't it? If somebody come walking in and they had to duck to clear that beam up there, that'd be pretty intimidating, wouldn't it? But because we saw that, are we all going to run out the back door? Lord, help us to recognize that this fear became, it doesn't make me a grasshopper because he's 2 foot taller than me. But that's what fear does. It caused them to exaggerate the discrepancy in size. Now I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, the third chapter. That's the next book in the Bible. And what happened because of the men being fearful and their fear exaggerating their ability to take the Canaan land? All the people didn't get to go in. In fact, everybody that was 20 years and old and older had to wander around in the wilderness until they all died. 40 years. It took those people to all die. Because they let fear control their outcome and their outlook. But in the third chapter of Deuteronomy, we find here, verses 21 beginning maybe, it says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you." Who was Joshua? Joshua was the one that took over in Moses' place. Joshua was one of those of the 12 spies that went into the land. There were two of them that came back and said were well able. One of them's name was Joshua, and one of them's name was Caleb. There was 10 of them that convinced the people that it's too fearful of operation to take on. So the whole people suffered. So of all of the people that had to die, Joshua and Caleb got to go into the promised land because they did not allow the device of the enemy to control their outcome. And here the Lord told Joshua, "I'll go with you. Don't fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you." You know the Lord will fight for us if we will refuse to be intimidated by the devil's fear, the device of fear. I'd like to turn to the book of Revelations, just trying to impress on us how serious it is for us to allow fear, the device of fear, to work in our life. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable," he puts fearful, unbelieving in the same category with a lot of other bad things. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That sounds like a serious consequence. Did you know that fear will destroy your life? It destroyed the lives of Israelites because they could not believe that the Lord would help them overcome the giants. And they believed that there were actually men out there that made them look like grasshoppers. Fear exaggerates a problem. Fear that you can't succeed. Fear that something will overcome you. Fear that you'll not be able to rise above a mistake or some other issue. But I want to read a scripture. You know, God told Joshua, I'll go with you. I'll fight for you. Don't be afraid of them. I'll fight for you. I will, don't allow fear. Don't let the enemy's device of fear control your destiny. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Let's go to 1 John, back up just a little bit from Revelations to 1 John. And I want us to notice a verse in 1 John, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 15. Read two or three verses here. He says, verse 15 beginning, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in him. He in God. I'm sorry. Does that sound like salvation? It does to me. Does that sound like someone that has a relationship with the Lord? For us to dwell in the Lord and the Lord dwells in us. It's a spiritual relationship. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe God loves us? It says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Can you have boldness if you have fear? It's pretty hard, isn't it? Because as he is, so are we in the world. Notice this. There is no fear in love. Are you afraid of something you love? You might have a dog that would show its teeth and cause its hair to stand up. And it might growl. And it might act like it would chew somebody's leg off. But when it comes to you, it kind of wiggles and maybe licks on you and wants to lay on your lap. You know, that's a reality. And you're not afraid of that. And why aren't you afraid of that dog? Because there's love there. All right? But somebody else might ought to be afraid, right? It might be good to have a healthy respect for a dog that pulls its teeth, its lips back and shows its teeth. And has this deep growl. And you see hair standing up on the back of its neck. And it's in a position where it could jump on you. I'd say go ahead and don't go in the door. Just don't do that. Just get back in your truck and wait for somebody that dog loves to come out. Don't go just ambling up through the yard. He says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. If we really have a loving relationship with the Lord, it's going to cause us to be able to cast out the fear that the devil wants to come up, that device of fear that he wants to use on us. Because fear, it says, hath torment. Have you ever been tormented with fear? You know that's of the devil. To allow fear to exaggerate to the point that everything looks like a giant and you look like a grasshopper, that's fear. That's a device of the devil. He says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth, he that allows that device of the enemy to work, it says, he is not made perfect in love. I want us to be able to recognize that if we want to disable the fear device that the enemy wants to use on us, that we have to cultivate our love relationship with the Lord. I personally have never had a dog that was real loving to me and aggressive towards a stranger. Maybe because I was too much of a stranger to the dog. I don't know. But I think there's some, I've just not been a person that has ever built a real loving relationship with a dog. I've had dogs. I've had friendly dogs. But if they're friendly to me, they're usually friendly to the strangers. Lord, help us to recognize that if we want to overcome the device of the enemy called fear, we have to cultivate a loving relationship with the Lord. Now, I had an experience this week that I think goes along with this little thought, this little message this morning. We all have phones that have apps on them, right? You know what I'm talking about. And I have an app that I have used multiple times on my phone from Lowe's. And the last time maybe Rodney and I were in Lowe's together, or I was trying to use my app at Rodney's house, I don't remember, to try to see if Lowe's had something, and it won't work. It says my app must be updated. So I tried to update it, and when I click on update, it goes to something. It's not even a Lowe's app update. I don't know. It's taking me someplace else, something I don't want. So finally, I was asking one of the fellows I work with, what's wrong here? And he said, well, maybe you ought to uninstall it and then try to reinstall it. So we uninstalled the app and went to reinstall it, and it's not available. And when I went to try to update it, it said, it's not compatible with your device. So hopefully they get that fixed. I have an Android phone, by the way. If you've got an Android phone, the probability that Lowe's app, if you won't work on it. Okay? So, you know, I want the devices of the enemy to not work. I want it to not work with me. When my device won't work with the Lowe's app right now, but I want my life to not work with the enemy's fear device. Because the enemy of my soul wants to come along and make me fearful of things that I'm afraid to tell you. All right? There's things that I don't want to tell you that would cause, could cause me to be fearful. There's things that, you know, you could have a fear of a health issue. You could have a fear of people not liking you, a fear of people undermining what you've worked for, and all of those kind of things. You could have all of those fears, but I don't want the devil's fears to work. I don't want his device to work in my life. I want to be able to defeat that. And when he tries to update his device so it'll work, I want him to get the message that it don't work in my life. I want him to get that message. I was pretty disappointed, to just tell you the truth. I've got a Lowe's in my hometown. It's the quickest place I can go and get stuff that I need. And I like that app because it'll tell me what aisle it's on in the store. And it'll tell me if they got that 3-inch, 3/4-inch pipe nipple. But not now. Not now, it doesn't work. So I want the devil to get the message. Your fear device don't work in his life. It's not going to get past the front door. You know, I had the icon, the little picture thingy, on my phone, and when I tapped on it, it said, update required. I want him to get the message, update required. And then when he tries to update it, I want it to take him someplace that confuses him, like it did me. And then when he tries to fix it, I want him to get the message, it don't work here anymore. Paul said, in the beginning where we started, Paul said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I want you to recognize that fear of not being able to please God in the age that we live in, is a device of the devil. Fear that you can't be pleasing to the Lord is a device of the devil. And we can give him the update that it don't work here anymore. That I believe that I have a loving relationship with the dog. No, not with the dog. With the Lord. To the point, at least I got your attention. I've got a loving relationship with the Lord to the point that fear don't work here anymore. I'm not afraid of my relationship with the Lord just evaporating. The fear of the enemy don't work in my life. And I want us to be able to go with courage. You know, we can be fearful that no one else wants to be a Christian in our world. And that could be a controlling thing. And it can become exaggerated to the point that we feel like a grasshopper. But Lord, help us to not allow that fear to begin to even come in. I believe there's people out there that want a relationship with the Lord. They want to have that loving relationship. Maybe they're just ignorant of it. But I don't want to be ignorant of the Satan's devices, and especially fear this morning. You pray for me. I want to live to what I preach. And I know that we are all susceptible to allowing fear to become exaggerated. If we let it in the door, it'll get bigger on us. So we just can't let it in the door. We want to send the devil the message. It don't work there anymore. You can't get in the front door. So you pray for me.